You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, along with Pat Traina of Inside Football, Forbes, The Athletic, Big Blue View, and a couple of other places that let's just put it this way, Patty, there's too many to mention.
I'm like the super freelancer, right?
The freelancer to end all freelancing.
A woman of the people.
There you go. So, Giants fans, let's talk a little bit about the Giants today, and we thought we would talk about one of the favorite topics of Giants fans today, and that would be Odell Beckham and his long-term contract. And let me say this between Patty and myself. Patty is the cap expert, the contract expert. So what we're going to do today is basically I'm going to throw some questions about Odell's contract at Patty, and Patty will answer those. I'll toss in a comment here and there along the way. But for the most part, this is going to be the Pat Traina Educates Us About Odell Beckham's Contract show.
Oh, gosh. No pressure, right, Ed?
No pressure. No pressure at all, Patty. we put it all on your plate, and so this one is all yours. So let's get started. Question number one, and I think most people who follow your work, you know, pretty religiously, know where you stand on this already. But let's frame the discussion in terms of where you stand on whether the Giants should give Odell Beckham that long-term contract this year, or whether it's smarter for them to wait another year and give it to him, you know, prior to the 2019 season.
Okay, so disclaimer, I had been in favor of waiting until next year because when I initially sat down and looked at the cap, I said there is no way they can afford to give him a raise, because I'm thinking in terms of he's already got an $8.5 million cap hit for this year. And I was thinking in terms of, well, they give him a raise and it starts this year as an extension, his cap number is going to go up. Now, with that said, I have since gone back. I have looked at numbers. I have gone back and looked at the CBA accounting section, done a little research, talked to a few people, and I figured out a way that they can give him an extension this year if they wanted to and lower the cap hit. Now, I won't go into the numbers in this show because I do have something on Forbes that I'm going to outline exactly what the numbers are and why I came to the proposed numbers and all that good stuff. But what I would do is I would wait until later in the year to give Odell his extension. Now, here's my reasoning for this. Odell is not yet cleared by the Giants medical staff to do football activities. And as I have said on shows before, while everything looks good and everybody is optimistic, until you're cleared, until you show you're not going to have a setback, you can't make any kind of assumptions. You can't take that risk. So if I'm the Giants, what I would do is I would wait until Odell gets cleared, and you know the assumption is he's going to be cleared in time for training camp. I would let him go through the practices, which are controlled. You know, he doesn't have to worry about necessarily getting tackled or hit in midair like he did last year in the preseason games. I would hold him out of the preseason games, and then I would see how he came through the summer. If everything checks out, you know, in the meantime now, keep in mind, if I'm the Giants, I'm talking to his agents. If everything checks out, then I look to maybe get him his new contract by, at the latest, the second week of the season. But you have to make sure that he is not going to have any setbacks physically. And again, everybody is optimistic. The arrow is pointing in the right direction. And the other key is to get his 2018 cap number lowered. Because contrary to some of the reports that you have seen out there, if they do give him an extension that starts this year, you got to remember he's going to get signing bonus money. And that gets prorated effective immediately. So it's not like they can defer it. It would kick in right away, which means you're going to prorate it over the life of the extension up to 5 years. So you want to lower it. And in my proposal that I have coming out in Forbes, I show how they can get it down by about, I think it's a, like a little over $3 million I was able to cut his 2018 number down.
So basically what you're proposing then, I know sometimes, if I'm correct, sometimes what happens here, now Odell is currently scheduled to play on his fifth-year option. Sometimes these contracts are basically an extension that don't touch the current year, that just use the current year and move on. So basically what you're proposing would be more or less, you know, ripping up that fifth year extension and restructuring, you know, this year, you know, to have a lower cap hit and then moving on from there.
Yeah, pretty much. You have to kind of, you know, you have to get that cap number lowered. That's first and foremost. Okay, if you don't get that cap number lowered, you know, you certainly can't increase it because they have $21 million in dead money right now on the books. That's a lot. It's not the most in the NFL, but that's a lot. Next year, as of right now, they have zero. You know, the JPP contract, that's coming off the books. The, you know, a couple of the other contracts, I know the Dominic Rogers-Cromartie contract, that's coming off the books. So there's a bunch of stuff that's going to clear out after this year. And I think if they can lower that cap number, get him signed now, what they can do is they don't have to choose between franchising Landon Collins. It's going to be cheaper to franchise Landon Collins if they have to. But, you know, get the deal done, like I said, by the end of the summer if you can. And just go from there, and I think it's going to solve a lot of problems, especially if they can get that 2018 number down.
And just for reference for people, that current 2018 cap number is $8.459 million, which is the number he's playing on, you know, on the fifth-year option. Am I correct?
Yes, that sounds right.
Yeah, so let's put it this way. Let's talk about, you know, Odell has said, you know, he said he'd love to be the highest paid player in football, and that's not going to happen because the Giants aren't going to pay him, you know, Matt Ryan money. They're not going to pay him $30 million a year. The guess is probably that, you know, that he winds up as the highest paid receiver, you know, in football. And let's just, in generic terms, when you look at the numbers for this, what's a ballpark number you think, you know, for the kind of contract he winds up with in terms of years, in terms of guaranteed money, maybe in terms of overall value?
I'm going to say 5-year extension, around $105 million with about $60 million guaranteed would be the ballpark figure I would start with. And it's just a matter now of how that would be structured. Again, get the first-year deal down so that the cap number is a little more friendly and you have some space. Maybe throw some guarantees. You could throw in a roster bonus. I mean, there are different things that could be done in order to manage the cap, but at the same time, which pushes money into Beckham's pocket, whether they do a big signing bonus whether they do like what Mike Evans got in Tampa Bay, which is basically a roster bonus in the first and I believe the final year of the contract. There are things that can be done to push guaranteed money over to Odell. You know, they would obviously guarantee all or part of his salaries, his base salaries. So it's just a matter of working it all out and coming up with a breakdown that meets the NFL contract rules. And also the other thing that's interesting here about this contract is you're coming up on the end of the CBA in 2020. So do you say to yourself, okay, do I want to give Odell an out after 2020, you know, as a courtesy, or do we want to keep him and then run the risk of the contract tolling if the 2021 NFL league year is wiped out due to a potential work stoppage? So that's another thing that is complicating this particular negotiation. You know, you've got his health status, and you've got the looming end of the CBA, because again, this is a big contract. And I think if I'm the Giants, I look at the end of the CBA and I say, look, whatever's going to happen happens. I can't worry about it. You know, I got to come up with a deal that's you know, player friendly and team friendly. And Kevin Abrams, who manages the cap for the Giants, I am constantly amazed at some of the contracts he hands out, because they're just so creative and so well structured, and they have allowed this team to pretty much manage the cap and not get into cap hell.
Patty, let me throw out a bit of a salary cap 101 kind of question. You talk about, quote, ways to manage the cap, and we talk about bonus money, different kinds of bonus money, signing bonuses, roster bonuses, workout bonuses. Explain, you know, sort of as simply as we can or as you can, you know, how bonus money and the different kinds of bonuses work in terms of, you know, what counts against the cap and what might not count against the cap, you know, so that, you know, teams can get guys their money without, you know, as you said, without, you know, destroying their salary cap.
Okay, well, first you have the signing bonus, and the signing bonus is usually a large chunk of money, and for accounting purposes, it is prorated over the life of the contract. That doesn't mean that the player is getting it in installments, although some teams do pay players that signing bonus in installments. So, for example, let's say a player gets a $20 million signing bonus. He might get $10 million the moment he puts his name on the contract, and then maybe the next $10 million comes midway through the season. But it's a guaranteed number, right? But for accounting purposes, that $20 million over the life of a 5-year contract is going to be prorated at $4 million per. Now, if the contract were 6 years, the maximum you can prorate a signing bonus is up to 5 years under the current CBA. Now, a roster bonus is a little different. It is actually a mechanism to where if you want to make it so that you can cut the player later on, let's say after 3 years, but you don't want to have a chunk of dead money against your cap, what you do is you say, okay, you know what? The player is going to be on my roster for 2018, so I'm going to give him a roster bonus. And that's going to, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lower the signing bonus so that this way I don't have a humongous cap hit. So, again, the roster bonus counts only towards that year. It is not prorated over the life of the contract. You mentioned workout bonuses. Workout bonuses aren't really guaranteed. I mean, they're there for the player to take advantage of, but in order for them to meet that, they have to attend, I believe, at least 85% of the team's schedule activities, and that includes, you know, phase one, phase two, and the OTAs of the off-season program. Other bonuses, well, actually, they're not bonuses, but they're incentives. You have likely to be earned and not likely to be earned. So likely to be earned would be easy stuff that you know the player is going to earn. So, for example, for Odell, he takes 10 snaps. Well, we all know he's going to take 10 snaps, okay? You know, if he's healthy, he's getting at least 10 snaps this season. So that's unlikely to be earned. A not likely to be earned is, okay, you become the MVP in the Super Bowl, or you make the Pro Bowl. It's basically a bonus that doesn't kick in until after the season because you don't know if it's going to be earned or not. And the not likely to be earned bonuses actually spill over to the following year's cap. So teams do use that as a mechanism. It's you know, I don't see it often in some of the contracts that have come out because, you know, you don't want to handicap your cap. But it is a mechanism there for teams to use. So I don't know if that makes sense. That was kind of a long-winded answer, but those are some of the differences.
No, the salary cap is a complicated sort of long-winded mystery for a lot of people. So it's never easy to give a short answer to any of those cap-related questions. So. But Professor Patty will teach us all the salary cap before we're done.
Oh, goodness. Just some background, folks, for those of you who wondered where I picked up this knowledge. Many years ago when I first started out my career, I used to sit with he's now a former front office executive, but I knew I was very friendly with a front office executive who specialized in the salary cap. And I just found it very interesting because at the time the cap was kind of new, and I really wanted to learn about it because I thought to myself, well, somewhere along the line I'm going to need to know this if I, you know, advance in my career as a sports writer. So I would pick the person's brain. And then, you know, once sites like Over the Cap came out and SpotRack, and Jason Fitzgerald, who runs Over the Cap, he put out a book called Crunching Numbers, which is really a very good resource as far as understanding the basics of the cap. So just getting my hands on that material, looking at the CBA, specifically the accounting section, all that information. And then, of course, there's still times when I have questions and I go to my battery of agents for information. I know we had Joel Corey on. Joel Corey writes Ask an Agent, and he's a salary cap expert. And he was I did an interview with him for a show, and he was fantastic. So just so much information out there, especially, you know, reading Joel's columns about contracts and, you know, the like I said, Jason Fitzgerald's book, Over the Cap, the articles they put out, SpotRack, the articles they put out. So anybody can learn this stuff.
So, Patty, last question as we wrap up the Odell discussion. And you hate percentages and you hate making predictions, and I'm going to ask you to do both. I'm going to ask you to put a percentage on whether or not Beckham gets a contract from the Giants this year or not.
Oh, man. See, for me, Ed, it's a yes or no question. How do you put a percentage on a yes or no question?
Well, you put, let's put it that way then. Yes or no, does he get one or not?
I think he will. I got to admit, for the longest time, I didn't think he would because, again, I had seen proposed structures that increased his cap number, and I would say to myself, there's no way that's going to happen because they don't have the cap space. But I think the key is going to be getting his 2018 number down and making him understand that, you know, look, we're going to push a lot of guaranteed money your way. Your average earning is going to be higher than, you know, Antonio Brown's. Now, I don't know necessarily how this situation with Julio Jones is going to play out because Julio Jones apparently wants his contract redone. But, you know, this whole thing about being the highest paid player, it's such a temporary crown because no sooner is a new guy crowned the highest paid in the league and then a new contract gets done, you know. And you know, case in point, Matt Ryan, I think, is now one of probably the highest paid. Well, Aaron Rodgers is looking to get his contract done. You know, Le'Veon Bell is looking to get a contract done, I believe. Julio Jones, Odell. So you got to think that somebody is going to supplant Matt Ryan as the highest paid player in the league. So really, you know, that argument to me is just not a valid one. You want to be amongst the top, if not at the top of your position, yes. But, you know, it's such a short-lived title.
Yes, it is, Patty. But, you know, everybody likes to have it for a little while, and all it seems to do is it just sets a new bar, sets a new parameter for someone else to shoot at, and it, every time somebody gets the biggest contract, then, you know, the next person comes along and costs another NFL owner a whole lot more money.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, you know, and then again, like I said, what I'm curious to find out, is what is, how is the end of the CBA going to factor into it? You know, I mean, you got to think about it. Now, again, there are probably teams that are going to say, oh, we're not going to worry about it, but you got to figure out. You've got to take this into consideration. You've got to plan the salary cap out, not just for this year, not just for next year, but for 2, 3, 4 years down the line.
I think so, but I think you also mentioned, you know, in terms of the CBA, that nobody knows what that's going to look like, so it's hard to factor in. I think all you can do is go about your business at this point. You know, and it's hard to deal with the unknown, so I don't know how much of a factor that can actually be.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, but, you know, Odell, you know, the last thing I'll say about Odell is he has been a picture-perfect teammate. He has done everything that has been asked and expected of him. He's not causing waves, you know, like people thought he would. And kudos to him because, you know, I know there are a lot of people out there that want to, you know, they want to fry him. And I've said this right from the get-go, and I will still say it. Yes, he's you know, he's animated. He has his own unique style. I don't agree with everything he does. You know, I don't like the showboating with the touchdown celebrations. I don't like, you know, the fancy cleats and all that stuff. But he's a heck of a talent. He's a good person. You know, he doesn't get in trouble with the law. He's not out there, you know, hurting animals or beating up women. He's out there, you know, doing work with kids, and he goes out of his way to make, you know, kids happy because he realizes that he is an icon to them. So really, why wouldn't you want this guy on your team, you know, moving forward? You know, this other stuff, you know, you have to think that, okay, maybe he'll outgrow that stuff, you know, the showboating and the hot dogging. But then again, that's what makes Odell Odell.
I think you're right on all of those counts, Patty, and we'll close the show by saying this. When Odell does get that contract, we will come back on Locked On Giants and we will do another episode of Professor Patty as she breaks down what the contract means and how it all works.
Oh, boy. No pressure, right?
All right. Giants fans, we hope you understand a little more about the cap and how the Giants can pay Odell Beckham. And with that said, we will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye now.